chapter 4 on the law of sales, obligations of the vendor, section 1, general provisions, article 1495. The vendor is bound to transfer the ownership of and deliver as well as warrant the thing which is the object of the sale. Article 1496. The ownership of the thing sold is acquired by the vendee from the moment it is delivered to him in any of the ways specified in Articles 1497 to 1501 or in any other manner signifying an agreement that the possession is transferred from the vendor to the vendee. Section 2, Delivery of the Thing Sold. Article 1497. The thing sold shall be understood as delivered when it is placed in the control and possession of the vendee. Article 1498. When the sale is made through a public instrument, the execution thereof shall be equivalent to the delivery of the thing, which is the object of the contract, if from the deed the contrary does not appear or cannot clearly be inferred. With regard to movable property, its delivery may also be made by the delivery of the keys of the place or depository where it is stored or kept. Article 1499. The delivery of movable property may likewise be made by the mere consent or agreement of the contracting parties if the thing sold cannot be transferred to the possession of the vendee at the time of the sale, or if the latter already had it in his possession for any other reason. Article 1500. There may also be tradition constitutum possessorium. Article 1501. With respect to incorporeal property, the provisions of the first paragraph of Article 1498 shall govern. In any other case wherein said provisions are not applicable, the placing of the titles of ownership in the possession of the vendee or the use by the vendee of his rights with the vendor's consent shall be understood as a delivery. Article 1502. When goods are delivered to the buyer on sale or return, to give the buyer an option to return the goods instead of paying the price, the ownership passes to the buyer on delivery, but he may revest the ownership in the seller by returning or tendering the goods within the time fixed in the contract, or if no time has been fixed, within a reasonable time. When goods are delivered to the buyer on approval or on trial or on satisfaction or other similar terms, the ownership therein passes to the buyer. Number 1. When he signifies his approval or acceptance to the seller or does any other act adopting the transaction. Number 2, if he does not signify his approval or acceptance to the seller but retains the goods without giving notice of rejection, then if a time has been fixed for the return of the goods on the expiration of such time, and if no time has been fixed on the expiration of a reasonable time, what is a reasonable time is a question of fact. Article 1503. Where there is a contract of sales of specific goods, the seller may, by the terms of the contract, reserve the right of possession or ownership in the goods until certain conditions have been fulfilled. The right of possession or ownership may be thus reserved notwithstanding the delivery of the goods to the buyer or to a carrier or other bailee for the purpose of transmission to the buyer. Where goods are shipped and by the bill of lading, the goods are deliverable to the seller or his agent, or to the order of the seller or of his agent, the seller thereby reserves the ownership in the goods. But if exempt for the form of the bill of lading, the ownership would have passed to the buyer on shipment of the goods. The seller's property in the goods shall be deemed to be only for the purpose of securing performance by the buyer of his obligations under the contract. Where goods are shipped and by the bill of lading, the goods are deliverable to order of the buyer or of his agent, but possession of the bill of lading is retained by the seller or his agent, the seller thereby reserves a right to the possession of the goods as against the buyer. Where the seller of goods draws on the buyer for the price and transmits the bill of exchange and bill of lading together to the buyer to secure acceptance or payment of the bill of exchange, The buyer is bound to return the bill of lading if he does not honor the bill of exchange, and if he wrongfully retains the bill of lading, he acquires no added right thereby. If, however, the bill of lading provides that the goods are deliverable to the buyer or to the order of the buyer or is endorsed in blank, or to the buyer by the consignee name therein, one who purchases in good faith for value the bill of lading or goods from the buyer will obtain the ownership in the goods, although the bill of exchange has not been honored, provided that such purchaser has received delivery of the bill of lading endorsed by the consignee named therein or of the goods without notice of the facts making the transfer wrongful. Article 1504. Unless otherwise agreed, the goods remain at the seller's risk until the ownership therein is transferred to the buyer. But when the ownership therein is transferred to the buyer, the goods are at the buyer's risk whether actual delivery has been made or not, except that, number one, where delivery of the goods has been made to the buyer or to a bailee for the buyer in pursuance of the contract and the ownership in the goods has been retained by the seller merely to secure performance by the buyer of his obligations under the contract, the goods are at the buyer's risk from the time of such delivery. Number two, where actual delivery has been delayed through the fault of either the buyer or seller, the goods are at the risk of the party in fault. Article 1505. Subject to the provisions of this title, where goods are sold by a person who is not the owner thereof, and who does not sell them under authority or with the consent of the owner, the buyer requires no better title to the goods than the seller had, unless the owner of the goods is by his conduct precluded from denying the seller's authority to sell. Nothing in this title, however, shall affect, number one, the provisions of any factors, acts, recording laws, or any other provision of law enabling the apparent owner of goods to dispose of them as if he were the true owner thereof. Number two, the validity of any contract of sale under statutory power of sale or under the order of a court of competent jurisdiction. Number three, purchases made in a merchant store or in fairs or markets in accordance with the Code of Commerce and special laws. Article 1506, where the seller of goods has a voidable title thereto, but his title has not been avoided at the time of the sale, the buyer acquires a good title to the goods provided he buys them in good faith for value and without notice of the seller's defect of title. Article 1507, a document of title in which it is stated that the goods referred to therein will be delivered to the bearer or to the order of any person named in such document is a negotiable document of title. Article 1508, a negotiable document of title may be negotiated by delivery. Number one, whereby the terms of the document, the carrier, warehouse man, or other bailee issuing the same undertakes to deliver the goods to the bearer. Or number two, whereby the terms of the document, the carrier, warehouse man, or other bailee issuing the same undertakes to deliver the goods to the order of a specified person, and such person or a subsequent endorsee of the document has endorsed it in blank or to the bearer. Whereby the terms of a negotiable document of title, the goods are deliverable to bearer, or where a negotiable document of title has been endorsed in blank or to bearer, any holder may endorse the same to himself or to any specified person, and in such case, the document shall thereafter be negotiated only by the endorsement of such endorsee. Article 1509. A negotiable document of title may be negotiated by the endorsement of the person to whose order the goods are by the terms of the document deliverable. Such endorsement may be in blank to bearer or to a specified person. If endorsed to a specified person, it may be again negotiated by the endorsement of such person in blank to bearer or to another specified person. Subsequent negotiations may be made in like manner. Article 1510. If a document of title which contains an undertaking by a carrier, warehouseman, or other bailee to deliver the goods to bearer, to a specified person, or order of a specified person, or which contains words of like import has placed upon it the words not negotiable, non-negotiable, or the like, such document may nevertheless be negotiated by the holder and is a negotiable document of title within the meaning of this title.
but nothing in this title contained shall be construed as limiting or defining the effect upon the obligations of the carrier for a houseman or other bailey issuing a document of title or placing thereon the words not negotiable, non-negotiable, or like. Article 1511. A document of title which is not in such form that it can be negotiated by delivery may be transferred by the holder by delivery to a purchaser or donee. A non-negotiable document cannot be negotiated, and the endorsement of such a document gives the transferee no additional right.
Article 1512. A negotiable document of title may be negotiated, number 1, by the owner thereof, or number 2, by any person to whom the possession or custody of the document has been entrusted by the owner, if by the terms of the document the bailey issuing the document undertakes to deliver the goods to the order of the person to whom the possession or custody of the document has been entrusted, or if at the time of such entrusting the document is in such form that it may be negotiated by delivery. Article 1513. A person to whom a negotiable document of title has been duly negotiated acquires thereby, number 1, such title to the goods as the person negotiating the document to him had or had ability to convey to a purchaser in good faith for value, and also such title to the goods as the person to whose order the goods were to be delivered by the terms of the document had or had ability to convey to a purchaser in good faith or value, and number 2, the direct obligation of the bailey issuing the document to hold possession of the goods for him according to the terms of the document as fully as if such bailey had contracted directly with him. Article 1514. A person to whom a document of title has been transferred but not negotiated acquires thereby as against the transferor the title to the goods subject to the terms of any agreement with the transferor. If the document is not negotiable, such person also acquires the right to notify the bailey who issued the document of the transfer thereof, and thereby to acquire the direct obligation of such bailey to hold possession of the goods for him according to the terms of the document. Prior to the notification to such bailey by the transferor or transferee of a non-negotiable document of title, the title or the transferee to the goods and the right to acquire the obligation of such bailey may be defeated by the levy of an attachment of execution upon the goods by a creditor of the transferor, or by a notification to such bailey by the transferor or a subsequent purchaser from the transferor of a subsequent sale of the goods by the transferor. Article 1515. Where a negotiable document of title is transferred for value by delivery and the endorsement of the transferor is essential for negotiation, the transferee acquires a right against the transferor to compel him to endorse the document unless a contrary intention appears. The negotiation shall take effect as of the time when the endorsement is actually made. Article 1516. A person who for value negotiates or transfers a document of title by endorsement or delivery, including one who assigns for value a claim secured by a document of title unless a contrary intention appears, warrants, number 1, that the document is genuine, number 2, that he has a legal right to negotiate or transfer it, number 3, that he has knowledge of no fact which would impair the validity or worth of the document, and number 4, that he has a right to transfer the title to the goods and that the goods are merchantable or fit for a particular purpose whenever such warranties would have been implied if the contract of the parties had been to transfer without a document of title the goods represented thereby. Article 1517. The endorsement of a document of title shall not make the endorser liable for any failure on the part of the bailey who issued the document or previous endorsers thereof to fulfill their respective obligations. Article 1518. The validity of the negotiation of a negotiable document of title is not impaired by the fact that the negotiation was a breach of duty on the part of the person making the negotiation, or by the fact that the owner of the document was deprived of the possession of the same by loss, theft, fraud, accident, mistake, duress, or conversion. If the person to whom the document was negotiated or a person to whom the document was subsequently negotiated paid value, therefore, in good faith without notice of the breach of duty or loss, theft, fraud, accident, mistake, duress, or conversion. Article 1519. If goods are delivered to a bailey by the owner or by a person
whose act in conveying the title to them to a purchaser in good faith for value would bind the owner and a negotiable document of title is issued for them, they cannot thereafter, while in possession of such bailey, be attached by garnishment or otherwise, or be levied under an execution unless the document be first surrendered to the bailey or its negotiation enjoined. The bailey shall in no case be compelled to deliver up the actual possession of the goods until the document is surrendered to him or impounded by the court. Article 1520. A creditor whose debtor is the owner of a negotiable document of title shall be entitled to such aid from courts of appropriate jurisdiction by injunction and otherwise in attaching such document or in satisfying the claim by means thereof, as is allowed at law or in equity in regard to property which cannot readily be attached or levied upon by ordinary legal process. Article 1521. Whether it is for the buyer to take possession of the goods or for the seller to send them to the buyer is a question depending in each case on the contract express or implied between the parties. Apart from any such contract, express or implied, or usage of trade to the contrary, the place of delivery is the seller's place of business if he has one, and if not, his residence. But in case of a contract of sale of specific goods, which to the knowledge of the parties when the contract or the sale was made were in some other place, then that place is the place of delivery. Whereby a contract of sale, the seller is bound to send the goods to the buyer, but no time for sending them is fixed. The seller is bound to send them within a reasonable time, where the goods at the time of sale are in the possession of a third person. The seller has not fulfilled his obligation to deliver to the buyer unless and until such third person acknowledges to the buyer that he holds the goods on the buyer's behalf. Demand or tender of delivery may be treated as ineffectual unless made at a reasonable hour. What is a reasonable hour is a question of fact. Unless otherwise agreed, the expenses of and incidental to putting the goods into a deliverable state must be borne by the seller. Article 1522. Where the seller delivers to the buyer a quantity of goods less than he contracted to sell, the buyer may reject them, but if the buyer accepts or retains the goods so delivered, knowing that the seller is not going to perform the contract in full, he must pay for them at the contract rate. If, however, the buyer has used or disposed of the goods delivered before he knows that the seller is not going to perform his contract in full, the buyer shall not be liable for more than the fair value to him of the goods so received. Where the seller delivers to the buyer a quantity of goods larger than he contracted to sell, the buyer may accept the goods included in the contract and reject the rest. If the buyer accepts the whole of the goods delivered, he must pay for them at the contract rate. Where the seller delivers to the buyer the goods he contracted to sell mixed with goods of a different description not included in the contract, the buyer may accept the goods which are in accordance with the contract and reject the rest. In the preceding two paragraphs, if the subject matter is indivisible, the buyer may reject the whole of the goods. The provisions of this article are subject to any usage of trade, special agreement, or course of dealing between the parties. Article 1523. Where in pursuance of a contract of sale, the seller is authorized or required to send the goods to the buyer, delivery of the goods to a carrier, whether named by the buyer or not, for the purpose of transmission to the buyer is deemed to be a delivery of the goods to the buyer, except in the cases provided for in Article 1503, first, second, and third paragraphs, or unless a contrary intent appears. Unless otherwise authorized by the buyer, the seller must make such contract with the carrier on behalf of the buyer as may be reasonable, having regard to the nature of the goods and the other circumstances of the case. If the seller omits so to do and the goods are lost or damaged in course of transit, the buyer may decline to treat the delivery to the carrier as a delivery to himself or may hold the seller responsible in damages. Unless otherwise agreed, where goods are sent by the seller to the buyer under circumstances in which the seller knows or ought to know that it is usual to insure, the seller must give such notice to the buyer as may enable him to insure them during their transit, and if the seller fails to do so, the goods shall be deemed to be at his risk during such transit.
Article 1524, the vendor shall not be bound to deliver the thing sold if the vendee has not paid him the price or if no period for the payment has been fixed in the contract. Article 1525, the seller of goods is deemed to be an unpaid seller within the meaning of this title. Number 1, when the whole of the price has not been paid or tendered. Number 2, when a bill of exchange or other negotiable instrument has been received as conditional payment and the condition on which it was received has been broken by reason of the dishonor of the instrument, the insolvency of the buyer, or otherwise. In Article 1525 to 1535, the term seller includes an agent of the seller to whom the bill of lading has been endorsed, or a consigner or agent who has himself paid or is directly responsible for the price, or any other person who is in the position of a seller. Article 1526, subject to the provisions of this title, notwithstanding that the ownership in the goods may have passed to the buyer, the unpaid seller of goods as such has, number 1, a lien on the goods or right to retain them for the price while he is in possession of them, number 2, in case of the insolvency of the buyer, a right of stopping the goods in transit after he has parted with the possession of them, number 3, a right of resale as limited by this title. Number 4, a right to rescind the sale as likewise limited by this title. Where the ownership in the goods has not passed to the buyer, the unpaid seller has, in addition to his other remedies, a right of withholding delivery similar to and coextensive with his right of lien and stoppage in transit where the ownership has passed to the buyer. Article 1527, subject to the provisions of this title, the unpaid seller of goods who is in possession of them is entitled to retain possession of them until payment or tender of the price in the following cases, namely, number 1, where the goods have been sold without any stipulation as to credit, number 2, where the goods have been sold on credit but the term of credit has expired, number 3, where the buyer becomes insolvent, number the seller may exercise his right of lien, notwithstanding that he is in possession of the goods as agent or bailee for the buyer. Article 1528. Where an unpaid seller has made part delivery of the goods, he may exercise his right of lien on the remainder unless such party delivery has been made under such circumstances as to show an intent to waive the lien or right of retention. Article 1529. The unpaid seller of goods loses his lien thereon. Number 1, when he delivers the goods to a carrier or other bailee for the purpose of transmission to the buyer without reserving the ownership in the goods or the right to the possession thereof. Number 2, when the buyer or his agent lawfully obtains possession of the goods. Number 3, by waiver thereof. The unpaid seller of goods having a lien thereon does not lose his lien by reason only that he has obtained judgment or decree for the price of the goods. Article 1530. Subject to the provisions of this title, when the buyer of goods is or becomes insolvent, the unpaid seller who has parted with the possession of the goods has the right of stopping them in transitu. That is to say, he may resume possession of the goods at any time while they are in transit, and he will then become entitled to the same rights in regards to the goods as he would have had if he had never parted with the possession. Article 1531. Goods are in transit within the meaning of the preceding article. Number 1. From the time when they are delivered to a carrier by land, water, or air, or other bailee for the purpose of transmission to the buyer until the buyer or his agent in that behalf takes delivery of them from such carrier or other bailee. Number 2, if the goods are rejected by the buyer and the carrier or other bailee continues in possession of them, even if the seller has refused to receive them back. Goods are no longer in transit within the meaning of the preceding article. Number 1, if the buyer or his agent in that behalf obtains delivery of the goods before their arrival at the appointed destination. Number 2, if after the arrival of the goods at the appointed destination, the carrier or other bailee acknowledges to the buyer or his agent that he holds the goods on his behalf and continues in possession of them as bailee for the buyer or his agent, and it is immaterial that further destination for the goods may have been indicated by the buyer. Number 3, if the carrier or other bailee wrongfully refuses to deliver the goods to the buyer or his agent in that behalf, if the goods are delivered to a ship, freight, train, truck, or airplane chartered by the buyer It is a question depending on the circumstances of the particular case whether they are in possession of the carrier as such or as agent of the buyer. If part delivery of the goods has been made to the buyer or his agent in that behalf, the remainder of the goods may be stopped in transit too, unless such part delivery has been under such circumstances as to show an agreement with the buyer to give up possession of the whole of the goods. Article 1532. The unpaid seller may exercise his right of stoppage in transitu either by obtaining actual possession of the goods or by giving notice of his claim to the carrier or other bailee in whose possession the goods are. Such notice may be given either to the person in actual possession of the goods or to his principal. In the latter case, the notice to be effectual must be given at such time and under such circumstances that the principal, by the exercise of reasonable diligence, may prevent a delivery to the buyer. When notice of stoppage in transit is given by the seller to the carrier or other bailee in possession of the goods, he must re-deliver the goods to or according to the directions of the seller. The expenses of such delivery must be borne by the seller. If, however, a negotiable document of title representing the goods has been issued by the carrier or other bailee, he shall not be obliged to deliver or justified in delivering the goods to the seller unless such document is first surrendered for cancellation. Article 1533. Where the goods are of perishable nature or where the seller expressly reserves the rights of resale in case the buyer should make default or where the buyer has been in default, in the payment of the price for an unreasonable time, an unpaid seller having a right of lien or having stopped the goods in transitu may resell the goods. He shall not thereafter be liable to the original buyer upon the contract of sale or for any profit made by such resale, but may recover from the buyer damages for any loss occasioned by the breach of the contract of sale. Where a resale is made as authorized in this article, the buyer acquires a good title as agent as against the original buyer. It is not essential to the validity of a resale that notice of an intention to resell the goods be given by the seller to the original buyer, but where the right to resell is not based on the perishable nature of the goods or upon an express provision of the contract of sale, the giving or failure to give such notice shall be relevant in any issue involving the question whether the buyer had been in default for an unreasonable time before the resale was made. It is not essential to the validity of a resale that notice of the time and place of such resale should be given by the seller to the original buyer. The seller is bound to exercise reasonable care and judgment in making a resale, and subject to this requirement may make a resale either by public or private sale. He cannot, however, directly or indirectly buy the goods. Article 1534. An unpaid seller having the right of lien or having stopped the goods in transitu may rescind the transfer of title and resume the ownership in the goods, where he expressly reserves the right to do so in case the buyer should make default or where the buyer has been in default in the payment of the price for an unreasonable time. The seller shall not thereafter be liable to the buyer upon the contract of sale, but may recover from the buyer damages for any loss occasioned by the breach of the contract. The transfer of title shall not be held to have been rescinded by an unpaid seller until he has manifested by notice to the buyer or by some other overt act an intention to rescind. It is not necessary that such overt act should be communicated to the buyer, but the giving or failure to give notice to the buyer of the intention to rescind shall be relevant in any issue involving the question whether the buyer had been in default for an unreasonable time before the right of rescission was asserted. Article 1535. Subject to the provisions of this title, the unpaid seller's right of lien or stoppage in transitu is not affected by any sale or other disposition of the goods which the buyer may have made unless the seller has assented thereto. If, however, a negotiable document of title has been issued for goods, no seller's lien or right of stoppage in transit shall defeat the right of any purchaser for value in good faith to whom such document has been negotiated, whether such negotiation be prior or subsequent ill notification to the carrier or other bailee who issued such document of the seller's claim to a lien or right of stoppage in transit. Article 1536. The vendor is not bound to deliver the thing sold in case the vendee should lose the right to make use of the term as provided in Article 1198. Article 1537. The vendor is bound to deliver the thing sold and its accessions and accessories in the conditions in which they were upon the perfection of the contract. All the fruits shall pertain to the vendee from the day on which the contract was perfected. Article 1538. In case of loss, deterioration, or improvement of the thing before its delivery, the rules in Article 1189 shall be observed, the vendor being considered the debtor. Article 1539. The obligation to deliver the thing sold includes that of placing in the control of the vendee all that is mentioned in the contract in conformity with the following rules. If the sale of real estate should be made with a statement of its area at the rate of a certain price for a unit of measure or number, the vendor shall be obliged to deliver to the vendee, if the latter should demand it, all that may have been stated in the contract. But should this not be possible, the vendee may choose between a proportional reduction of the price and the rescission of the contract, provided that in the latter case the lack and the area be not less than 1/10 of that stated. The same shall be done even when the area is the same, if any part of the immovable is not of the quality specified in the contract. The rescission in this case shall only take place at the will of the vendee when the inferior value of the thing sold exceeds 1/10 of the price agreed upon. Nevertheless, if the vendee would not have bought the immovable had he known of its smaller area or inferior quality, he may rescind the sale. Article 1540. If in the case of the preceding article, there is a greater area or number in the immovable than that stated in the contract, the vendee may accept the area included in the contract and reject the rest. If he accepts the whole area, he must pay for the same at the contract rate. Article 1541. The provisions of the two preceding articles shall apply to judicial sales. Article 1542. In the sale of real estate made for a lump sum and not at the rate of a certain sum for a unit of measure or number, there shall be no increase or decrease of the price, although there be a greater or lesser areas or number than that stated in the contract. The same rule shall be applied when two or more immovables are sold for a single price, but if, besides mentioning the boundaries, which is indispensable in every conveyance of real estate, its area or number should be designated in the contract, the vendor shall be bound to deliver all that is included within said boundaries, even when it exceeds the area or number specified in the contract, and should he not be able to do so, he shall suffer a reduction in the price in proportion to what is lacking in the area or number, unless the contract is rescinded because the vendee does not accede to the failure to deliver what has been stipulated. Article 1543. The actions arising from Articles 1539 and 1542 shall prescribe in 6 months counted from the day of delivery. Article 1544. If the same thing should have been sold to different vendees, the ownership shall be transferred to the person who may have first taken possession thereof in good faith, if it should be movable property. Should it be immovable property, the ownership shall belong to the person acquiring it, who in good faith first recorded it in the registry of property. Should there be no inscription, the ownership shall pertain to the person who in good faith was first in the possession, and in the absence thereof to the person who presents the oldest title, provided there is good faith. Section 3. Conditions and Warranties. Article 1545. Where the obligation of either party to a contract of sale is subject to any condition which is not performed, such party may refuse to proceed with the contract, or he may waive performance of the condition. If the other party has promised that the condition should happen or be performed, such first mentioned party may also treat the non-performance of the condition as a breach of warranty. Where the ownership in the thing has not passed, the buyer may treat the fulfillment by the seller of his obligation to deliver the same as described and as warranted expressly or by implication in the contract of sale as a condition of the obligation of the buyer to perform his promise to accept and pay for the thing.
Article 1546, any affirmation of fact or any promise by the seller relating to the thing is an express warranty if the natural tendency of such affirmation or promise is to induce the buyer to purchase the same, and if the buyer purchases the thing relying thereon, no affirmation of the value of the thing nor any statement purporting to be a statement of the seller's opinion only shall be construed as a warranty unless the seller made such affirmation or statement as an expert and it was relied upon by the buyer. Article 1547. In a contract of sale, unless a contrary intention appears, there is, number one, an implied warranty on the part of the seller that he has a right to sell the thing at the time when the ownership is to pass and that the buyer shall from the time have and enjoy the legal and peaceful possession of the thing. Number two, any implied warranty that the thing shall be free from any hidden faults or defects or any charge or encumbrance not declared or known to the buyer. This article shall not, however, be held to render liable a sheriff, auctioneer, mortgagee, pledgee, or other person professing to sell by virtue of authority in fact or law for the sale of a thing in which a third person has a legal or equitable interest. Subsection 1. Warranty in case of eviction. Article 1544. Eviction shall take place whenever by a final judgment based on a right prior to the sale or an act imputable to the vendor, the vendee is deprived of the whole or every part of the thing purchased. The vendor shall answer for the eviction even though nothing has been said in the contract on the subject. The contracting parties, however, may increase, diminish, or suppress this legal obligation of the vendor. Article 1549. The vendee need not appeal from the decision in order that the vendor may become liable for eviction. Article 1550. When adverse possession had been commenced before the sale but the prescriptive period is completed after the transfer, the vendor shall not be liable for eviction. Article 1551. If the property is sold for non-payment of taxes due and not made known to the vendee before the sale, the vendor is liable for eviction. Article 1552. The judgment debtor is also responsible for eviction in judicial sales unless it is otherwise decreed in the judgment. Article 1553. Any stipulation exempting the vendor from the obligation to answer for eviction shall be void if he acted in bad faith. Article 1554. If the vendee has renounced the right to warranty in case of eviction and eviction should take place, the vendor shall only pay the value which the thing sold had at the time of the eviction. Should the vendee have made the waiver with knowledge of the risk of eviction and assumed its consequences, the vendor shall not be liable. Article 1555. When the warranty has been agreed upon or nothing has been stipulated on this point, in case eviction occurs, the vendee shall have the right to demand of the vendor, number one, the return of the value which the thing sold had at the time of the eviction, be it greater or less than the price of the sale. Number two, the income or fruits if he has been ordered to deliver them to the party who won the suit against him. Number three, the cost of the suit which caused the eviction, and in a proper case, those of the suit brought against the vendor for the warranty. Number four, the expenses of the contract if the vendee has paid them. Number five, the damages and interest and ornamental expenses if the sale was made in bad faith. Article 1556. Should the vendee lose by reason of the eviction a part of the thing sold of such importance in relation to the whole that he would not have bought it without said part, he may demand the rescission of the contract, but with the obligation to return the thing without other encumbrances than those which it had when he acquired it. He may exercise this right of action instead of enforcing the vendor's liability for eviction. The same rule shall be observed when two or more things have been jointly sold for a lump sum or for a separate price for each of them, if it should clearly appear that the vendee would not have purchased one without the other. Article 1557. The warranty cannot be enforced until a final judgment has been rendered whereby the vendee loses the thing acquired or part thereof. Article 1558. The vendor shall not be obliged to make good the proper warranty unless he is summoned in the suit for eviction at the instance of the vendee. Article 1559. The defendant vendee shall ask within the time fixed in the rules of court for answering the complaint that the vendor be made a co-defendant. Article 1560.
If the immovable sold should be encumbered with any non-apparent burden or servitude not mentioned in the agreement of such a nature that it must be presumed that the vendee would not have acquired it, had he been aware thereof, he may ask for the rescission of the contract unless he should prefer the appropriate indemnity. Neither right can be exercised if the non-apparent burden or servitude is recorded in the registry of property unless there is an express warranty that the thing is free from all burdens and encumbrances. Within 1 year to be computed from the execution of the deed, the vendee may bring the action for rescission or sue for damages. 1 year having elapsed, he may only bring an action for damages within an equal period to be counted from the date on which he discovered the burden or servitude. Subsection 2. Warranty against hidden defects of or encumbrances upon the thing sold. Article 1561. The vendor shall be responsible for warranty against the hidden defects which the thing sold may have, should they render it unfit for the use for which it is intended, or should they diminish its fitness for use, for such use to such an extent that had the vendee been aware thereof, he would not have acquired it, or would have given a lower price for it. But said vendor shall not be answerable for patent defects, or those which may be visible, or for those which are not visible, if the vendee is an expert who, by reason of his trade or profession, should have known them. Article 1562. In a sale of goods, there is an implied warranty or condition as to the quality or fitness of the goods as follows. Number 1. For the buyer expressly or by implication makes known to the seller the particular purpose for which the goods are acquired, and it appears that the buyer relies on the seller's skill or judgment, whether he be the grower or manufacturer or not, there is an implied warranty that the goods shall be reasonably fit for such purpose. Number 2. For the goods are bought by description from a seller who deals in goods of that description, whether he be the grower or manufacturer or not, there is an implied warranty that the goods shall be of merchantable quality. Article 1563. In the case of contract of sale of a specified article under its patent or other trade name, there is no warranty as to its fitness for any particular purpose unless there is a stipulation to the contrary. Article 1564. An implied warranty or condition as to the quality or fitness for a particular purpose may be annexed by the usage of trade. Article 1565. In the case of a contract of sale by sample, if the seller is a dealer in goods of that kind, there is an implied warranty that the goods shall be free from any defect rendering them unmerchantable, which would not be apparent on reasonable examination of the sample. Article 1566. The vendor is responsible to the vendee for any hidden faults or defects in the thing sold, even though he was not aware thereof. This provision shall not apply if the contrary has been stipulated and the vendor was not aware of the hidden faults or defects of the thing sold. Article 1567. In the cases of Article 1561, 1562, 1564, 1565, and 1566, the vendee may elect between withdrawing from the contract and demanding a proportionate reduction of the price with damages in either case. Article 1568. If the thing sold should be lost in consequence of the hidden faults and the vendor was aware of them, he shall bear the loss and shall be obliged to return the price and refund the expenses of the contract with damages. If he was not aware of the contract, he shall only return the price and interest thereon and reimburse the expenses of the contract which the vendee might have paid. Article 1569. If the thing sold had any hidden fault at the time of the sale and should thereafter be lost by a fortuitous event or through the fault of the vendee, the latter may demand of the vendor the price which he paid less the value which the thing had when it was lost. If the vendor acted in bad faith, he shall pay damages to the vendee. Article 1570. The preceding article of this subsection shall be applicable to judicial sales, except that the judgment debtor shall not be liable for damages. Article 1571. Actions arising from the provisions of the preceding 10 articles shall be barred after 6 months from the delivery of the thing sold. Article 1572. If two or more animals are sold together, whether for a lump sum or for a separate price for each of them, the red hibitory defect of one shall only give rise to its prohibition and not that of the others, unless it should appear that the vendee would not have purchased the sound animal or animals without the defective one. The latter case shall be presumed when a team, yoke, pair, or set is bought, even if a separate price has been fixed for each one of the animals composing the same. Article 1573. The provisions of the preceding article with respect to the sale of animals shall in like manner be applicable to the sale of other things. Article 1574. There is no warranty against hidden defects of animals sold at fairs or at public auctions or of livestock sold as condemned. Article 1575. The sale of animals suffering from contagious disease shall be void. A contract of sale of animals shall also be void if the use or service for which they are acquired has been stated in the contract and they are found to be unfit therefore. Article 1576. If the hidden defect of animals, even in case a professional inspection has been made, should be of such a nature that expert knowledge is not sufficient to discover it, the defect shall be considered a redhibitory. But if the veterinarian, through ignorance or bad faith, should fail to discover or disclose it, he shall be liable for damages. Article 1577. The redhibitory action based on the faults or defects of animals must be brought within 40 days from the date of their delivery to the vendee. This action can only be exercised with respect to faults and defects which are determined by law or by local customs. Article 1578. If the animal should die within 3 days after its purchase, the vendor shall be liable if the disease which caused the death existed at the time of the contract. Article 1579. If the sale be rescinded, the animal shall be returned in the condition in which it was sold and delivered, the vendee being answerable for any injury due to his negligence and not arising from the redhibitory fault or defect. Article 1580. In the sale of animals with redhibitory defects, the vendee shall also enjoy the right mentioned in Article 1567, but he must make use thereof within the same period which has been fixed for the exercise of the redhibitory action. Article 1581. The form of sale of large cattle shall be governed by special laws.